Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Scheduling is not easy. And believe me, the motivation for me to broadcast a game with Michigan or Alabama, whomever, versus Georgia State. But in 2017, Penn State will have home games with Kent State and Georgia State. And there's a new date for the Pitt game at Beaver Stadium. Penn State and Georgia State will meet on September 16, 2017. Let's see. There's going to be 9 Big Ten games. The previously announced game with Pitt on September 9th. Let's see, what is this? Oh, it'll be played on September 9th. And that'll be at Beaver Stadium. So it's going to be on September 9th. I think it was going to be on the 16th originally. I think they bumped it back a week. And then they'll host Kent State on September 15th, 2018. So now the 16 and 17 schedules are complete. And again, scheduling, not easy. You do need to have a fair amount of one plays in there because you'd want it with scheduling if you did not have the responsibility to fund other sports. All right, how about that? I mean, that's a big part of this. And people don't like to hear that because it involves a sport you love. If you want to fund wrestling as an example, you need to play the part of the formula to do it is to play some of these games. So nobody's going to sit there and go, "Oh my God, Georgia State's coming in. I can't wait." And nobody's going to say they can't wait to see Georgia State. They're going to play Pitt that year. People are anxious to see that game. I mean, they've got that middle slot already played out. The middle slot is Pitt in 16, 17, 18, 19. Syracuse 21, 22, 21. I think they're in 22 as well. Virginia Tech is in 22, 23. West Virginia is in 23 and 24. So, $4,900 new Penn State football season tickets have been sold. So that's almost 5,000 new season ticket holders. But things, things have changed over time. There's no question. Things have changed over time. And one of the changes over time that has happened among the changes is that what used to be an automatic sellout at Beaver Stadium and a waiting list, well, the waiting list went away. Why did it go away? Because they built the stadium bigger. Right? And that's where your waiting list went. It's not easy. Now, for Georgia State, it's great for their budget. They get a guarantee, a pretty hefty guarantee, as a matter of fact. not bad.
And if you didn't think that that was the case, they had they are an FBS level program. Georgia State is.
No, Georgia State's no.
They're not FBS? I thought they came in that way. I'm sorry. I know they're a fairly new program.
Oh, no, they're FBS. No, I thought you said FCS.
No. They're FBS. No, I mean, I know they're FBS. A fairly new program, though.
Right. It is a requirement in the Big Ten to now play only FBS schools.
Right.
It is a requirement to play only FBS schools. So, yeah, I mean, so it may be Georgia State, but they're still FBS,
right?
I think they're in the Sun. I think they're in the Sun.
Yeah, they're this year, I think, and then they're able to compete in the postseason. I think this year, 2014.
Exactly. So I mean, that's where we are. It's not easy to schedule, and there are a lot of factors that go into it, and not the least of which is that you have to balance. How many challenging games, how many games that you put on there that you should win because you are striving to get a winning record, and then how many one plays do you have? Well, in today's scheduling, two of the three games have to be one plays. Always. Always. And the reason you do that is you sacrifice your football weekends like that because you need the money as one place to pay for your other sports. People hate to hear that, but it's my job to present what reality is and what the facts are and not make believe. It's not blaming the other sports. I'm just saying it's a reality. If you want to have it, then you have to do certain things to make it happen because they can't make it happen on their own. That simple. I mean, each one of those scholarships that each one of the scholarships at Penn State just went up 2.99%. Each one of them just went up 2.99%.
And when you look at it from, I'm sorry,
I mean,
you
look at that's what happened. You want 9.9 wrestling scholarships just became nearly 3% more expensive.
You look at things from the Georgia State football program. I mean, this is an opportunity for them to get some exposure and a decent payday, too.
Sure, it is for them, but but they're not the ones that have to attend the game.
No, I understand what you're saying. But I'm looking at it, I'm trying to look at it from all sides. I mean, this is a program that's starting, that's trying to, develop itself in FBS. They just came into FBS in the Sun Belt last year. They started the first 3 years as an FCS and an independent. They're trying to build themselves up. This is a big game for them when you look at it on the schedule. But like you said, you have to pay for those scholarships somewhere along the line.
I mean, now, what do you do with younger fans? What do you do to keep them interested in what's going on? One of the things I've been intrigued with is somebody mentioned the idea of putting the laser... using a laser for a first down marker like you see on TV.
I really like that idea.
Right. Now, whether or not it can be pulled off, I have no idea. I don't know. The NFL's the one that said they wanted to take a look at it. I haven't heard a lot about it since we first talked about it, but it was written about. Okay. So I don't know whether that's feasible or not. I would hope it is, because I think it would be fun for the fans. The HD video boards. They spent $10 million here on HD video boards. Actually, a few people complained to me, like, well, what are they spending $10 million on that for? Well, yeah, you have to. You have to make the in-stadium experience as good and obviously better than the home experience. So you spend $10 million and you take care of HD boards.
You know, earlier on, you mentioned the Wall Street Journal article that was talking about part of the problem with students attending games was the cellular reception wasn't that good. One thing that I've noticed over the last several years at attending big events, and including just a couple of weekends ago at Pocono, now granted Verizon is a part of the series, but there were extra portable truck towers. So there was extra capacity to be able to get your cell phone calls, and more importantly, the data in and out on your cell phone. So they brought in portable towers, basically, for the event up at Pocono. That's something I think that the universities may have to look into and partner with different cellular companies to be able to do. Because I think one of the biggest things for students is being able to take a picture, put it on Instagram, put it on Facebook, tweet it, whatever, that you're at the game, here's what's going on, and you can't do it. It sounds really insignificant to many of us, but that's a big part of a college student's life, is being able to send those Instagram photos. And not even college students anymore. I mean, it's expanding.
I don't think it's insignificant at all. I think it's quite significant. I know Penn State built a brand new cell tower. You know, they had a new cell tower built. They put it in right behind Medler Field at LeBron Park, right behind the scoreboard, with the idea that it could increase cellular capacity within the stadium. Now, I don't know whether it worked or not, because I don't use my cell phone during the game. Obviously, I'm a bit busy.
I can't tell you. I went there last time I was at Beaver Stadium, but was probably 2 years ago, and it was really rough.
The fans may be able to tell me if it's improved at all in the last 2 years. That I don't know. I know it was so up and down before that they put this tower in with the idea it would improve it. Now, you, the fan, would have to tell me whether it's improved or not, because, again, I don't use my cell phone.
I couldn't get a text message out with it, let alone with a picture.
Or make a phone call.
Yeah, probably about. And it's been 2 or 3 years since I've been to a game at Beaver Stadium, when it's, you know, other than the spring game. So capacity, it wasn't an issue of signal strength. It was an issue of capacity. The cellular system just couldn't handle it on game day.
Right, and that's part of it. I think you have to, you know, there are a couple things I think need to be looked into. One of them is, if you're going to sign, there are two major contracts coming up. The two major contracts coming up are the NBA contract, which will be huge. It'll probably double what they get now, probably into the $1.8 billion range, somewhere around there. And then there's the Big Ten contract and the series of TV contracts they will have between Fox, ESPN, ABC, BTN, and CBS, as to what to do with the Big Ten television package, which they feel will net each school $44.5 million. Now, so you know, each school in the Big Ten expects to get $25.7 million this year. I think it goes to from 25.7 up to 28 the year after, and I think it's in the 32-33 range in the final year. Okay? But they're expecting it to be $44.5 million when the new contract is signed, in that range, neighborhood, in 2017. That's if the market holds out the way it is. If you were going to increase, and I know cost increase, because I just talked about a tuition increase here at 3%, which, of course, affects the budget right away. If you're going to get an increase from 25.7 to 44.5, which is nearly $19 million, that's $18.8 million more, as a goodwill gesture, wouldn't it make sense to lower ticket price to the fan? Lower the ticket price to the student? Make it feel like they're getting something back? Even if it's nominal, it's still a goodwill gesture? I'm just saying. If you're going to get that much more money, can't you forego a little bit of it just by doing a goodwill gesture, good faith gesture? 107,000 seats, a lot of seats to fill. It's a lot. If the Buffalo Bills stay in Buffalo, in all likelihood, they will build a new stadium. And if they do, I can tell you it's going to be smaller than the stadium they have now. Ralph Wilson Stadium's 80,000. I would think that the top-out number of 65 and the possibility of maybe 55 or 60 is a distinct possibility. Because in the NFL, you have the blackout rule. 72 hours must be sold out ahead of time. It's easier to sell out when there's 60 or 65,000 seats as opposed to 80. And I think that's the trend you're going to see. In the 1950s, they wanted to build a ballpark in Pittsburgh for the Pirates that was going to be 70,000 seats. Okay, in the 50s, they wanted to build a ballpark in Pittsburgh that had 70,000 seats for the baseball team. They finally ended up building PNC Park at 38,000. Brilliant move. Gorgeous park. It's the way of the world today. Soccer looks really good on paper. Sporting Kansas City's jumping up and down at 19,000 fans a game. Look what we've done. It's a record, the whole thing. You're like, you're in the college football team in the country that wants 19,000 fans. You need four times as many. The problem is, how do you attract the younger fan that's going to make up your 75,000 for the next 30 years? That's what they're worried about. We'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
All right, a lot of news coming up at the hour. The Malaysian jet being shot down over the Ukraine with a missile. Also, the fact that Israel's launching Gaza, launches Gaza ground invasion. Cody, on that all at the bottom of the hour. So, a lot of news going on. Sports, not so much right now. There's a lot of news. Media day here is going to be Monday, August 4th, in terms of the local media. Let's see now. Let's check out what's happening on the old wire here. McIlroy 66 leads open. Tiger 9. Bill Russell taken to hospital. Okay after scare. Els rattled after hitting a fan. Mickelson shoots 74. Miami North. New Cav Miller recruiting Ray Allen. LeBron, most popular male athlete, poll says. Timberwolves owner reiterates hope to keep Kevin Love. Okay. Nats Rondon. Baseball, too boring. Finally got a baseball story, and it's critical.
Yeah, baseball's too boring. We've been talking about that for a year now.
It's not boring. It's just what they've done has slowed it down.
Yeah, but when you look at the way they've slowed it down, it makes it boring.
The other night, okay, there's a kid, Isaias Tejeda. He's a catcher in the Yankee organization. The rule in the Penn League, which is the rule that should be followed anyway, is as follows. If you swing at a ball, you're allowed to step out of the box. Okay? You're not supposed to stray around, but you're allowed to step out of the box if you swing at a pitch. At a pitch, you are not allowed to step out of the box. This kid was roaming all over the place, batting gloves, grass. Like, what are you doing? Get back in the box. Like, what are you doing? Like, now you got this kid. Anthony Rendon, who's really, really good. Okay? Break your whole thing. Says he really likes baseball and prefers the History Channel. Doesn't talk a lot about baseball when he visits his family during his time off. So he's just looking forward to days of rest from baseball. I have a bed at home waiting for me to sleep in, Rendon told the Post. It's a good 4-day vacation. We have a long season ahead. Batting 287, 13 homers, 53 knocked in. I think he's understanding the league a little bit more, said Matt Williams. We have to realize how young he is, certainly, to the big leagues. But he said, watch baseball on TV. It's too long and boring, Rendon said in a recent interview.
I agree with
you
him.
You wonder why soccer's catching on. It's 90 minutes. Time commitment is like, fits a lifestyle. Look, I am as much a traditionalist on most things as possible. But I have watched the sports that I enjoy and love evolve and become better by a... Hey, memo to baseball. Bud Selig can be criticized all he wants. Interleague was smart. Replay was smart. Remember, the NFL dropped it after a year, so tweak it. But also figure out a way to look at professionals. Okay? Stay in the box and hit.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us as we roll through this afternoon together on this Thursday. Gorgeous, gorgeous day out. Low humidity. Beautiful, beautiful day. Kevin played in a golf tournament yesterday. He's been bragging to everybody that he shot one under par.
Anytime the number's red, that's good news.
Did you mention the part where it was a scramble?
No. Mom didn't raise a fool.
No. Evidently not. Very impressive.
How'd you do? Shot one under. No kidding. Yeah, best round of my life.
What made it happen? The chatter.
I was a lot of chuttering.
We're hitting SEC Media Days. Okay. Somebody needs to explain to me.
Media Days. I love that.
Yeah, but they took all 4 days, okay, where instead of having baseball being played, everybody's talking about the Southeastern Conference football teams. Right? No, okay, we just had a really, really good All-Star game where the star power on display was really impressive. Yes, I mean, must-see guys. Giancarlo Stanton, Yasiel Puig, Andrew McCutchen, Chase Utley, Jose Bautista, Robinson Cano, Derek Jeter, Mike Trout, Felix Hernandez, John Lester, Adam Wainwright, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, we saw some must-see guys that are as good as anybody we've seen in the game over decades. Should be celebrated. And they took the spigot and shut it off. Okay. Yeah. Hope you're paying your marketing department a lot because they need the cash. Need to market something here because guess what? You just gave away 4 days of the Southeastern Conference in the middle of your season after the World Cup buried you. World Cup ratings up 45% on Univision ESPN combined. Good. And baseball just got buried. But I talked about this yesterday. you know, when you look at what sports have done, right? Tennis had to win by two. Okay, this is the way tennis used to be. Tennis used to be you had to be amateur, and you had to win the set by two. May have taken some work, but they finally allowed professionals into the major four tournaments. It used to be amateur, you know. Wimbledon, U.S. Open, Australian Open, French Open. Finally, in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, pros got a chance to play. And instead of winning by each set by two, they put a tiebreaker in. Why? Close up the gap of time. Golf. Okay. U.S. Open still the only one that uses an 18-hole playoff. Everybody else is adapted. A couple extra holes, best out of four, but whatever, sudden death, doesn't matter. But they've come up with something. At least they're doing something. All right? They put guys on the clock. They tell guys in the PGA Tour, you're on the clock. You're not playing fast enough. Move.
In the last couple of tournaments, they have really cracked down on that this year.
Exactly. Okay. All right. You look at hockey. What have they done? Well, okay. The two-line pass is now legal. So instead of constant stoppages of play when there's a moment of excitement, now you have flow and excitement. Center ice trap, defensively, eliminated. Jacques Lemaire brilliantly put it in and used it with the New Jersey Devils and then eventually with the Minnesota Wild. Okay, took it out. Trapezoid area behind the net where that's the only place the goalie can handle the puck. All this to open up the game, make it better. And not only that, they put in video replay on all goals in Toronto. The NBA, what have they done? There was no three-point shot in the NBA in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and the early part of the 70s. There was no three-point shot. They put the three-point shot in. College basketball adopted the three-point shot. Remember, college basketball had no shot clock and no three-point shot. Starting in 1986, they put the shot clock in, and they put the three-point shot in. They may have changed the distance on the three-point shot, but they put it in. What's the most exciting shot in basketball? Where the crowd rises in anticipation. Three-pointer on the way. Okay, the value of the shot. Rick Pitino's probably done it and used it better than anybody else. Right. Game evolved. Made it a better game. NBA, not only the three-point shot, 24-second shot clock, so forth, but hand-checking, okay, took low-scoring games. They changed hands. You can't touch out front. It's a foul. If you do, it's foul. And guess what? It's opened the game up, and now you've got games back into the hundreds again. Evolving, changing the game. They've also had a little bit of former replay, too. College football. Took the field and divided it, took the hash marks, moved them in. Divide the field in thirds. Why? It's better for the passing game. That's why. Those hash marks now divide the field into thirds. They're much wider before. Big move. Okay? Overtime was adopted, so games didn't end in ties. Instant replay was put in. It's worked. I may not be crazy about the overtime system, but it's exciting. I'll say this. The overtime system, while I may not be crazy about it, I can tell you I do know it's exciting. The NFL. You look at the first 9 Super Bowl winners. First 10 Super Bowl winners. First 10 Super Bowl winners. What did they all have in common? They all played great defense, and they all ran the football, including Don Shula's Dolphins. Yet Don Shula was the head of the competition committee at that time, and it was his committee, with his leadership, that changed the rules so you could pass. Wide open passing. Remember, the forward pass of football wasn't legal. Okay, early on when this whole thing started. The forward pass, no. Okay, forward pass was then used in football, but now it's become the primary mode of transportation in the NFL. And why? It's exciting. Two-point conversions are in. Exciting. Instant replay. Started out, they didn't like it, dropped it. Remember, people, you have to understand the history of sports to understand where you're going with it. Instant replay, for all the faults of Major League Baseball, keep in mind the NFL had it. It seems like a smooth-working system now in the NFL, doesn't it? Except when they first put it in, they dropped it and then brought it back. Okay? And the passing rules and the contact rules of receivers have all dramatically changed to do what? Open up the passing game and make it a better game.
By the way, I do have one more suggestion for the NFL to make a change in the two-point conversion. You should be able to return it for two as the defense. That's the only thing I would like to see different. I don't like it that it's a dead ball, and it just takes the fun out of it.
I totally agree. I think if you're going to take the risk of a two-point conversion, part of the risk is the defense can score on it too. All right? And Kevin's absolutely right. But that is where we are. Okay, if it's what other sports have done. Baseball does anything. It's like, you're ruining the game. Yeah. Okay, it's perfect the way it is. Not perfect the way it is. You know how many minutes of actual action there is in a 3 hour and 15 minute baseball game? 18 minutes. Okay? 18 minutes out of 3 hours and 15, the ball is in play. There's only 5 minutes total where it includes base hits. How about those numbers? So what does baseball need to do? Number one, for all the criticism that Bud Selig has had, okay, let's talk about the unjustified criticism. Okay? This is only my opinion. Kevin will have a completely different opinion on a lot of these things. It's only my opinion. Putting replay in was smart. How would I tweak it? I would put an umpire. Yeah, I would have a booth set up with HD screens, a technician, and have a fifth umpire, thus on site, to make communication easier and have that umpire locked in completely on the game at hand. That's how I would tweak it. You have the money to do it, do it. Okay, that's one. Number two, interleague play Kevin hates. But interleague play is smart and good, and I like it.
Yeah, but the main reason I hate interleague play is because the rules are different for those games. That's the main reason I hate interleague play.
Which then brings me to the other one. Unify the rules of the game.
Absolutely correct.
The rules in the East and the West in the NBA are exactly the same. The rules in the East and West in the NHL are the same. The rules in the NFC and the AFC are exactly the same. Baseball is the only sport that has different rules. And, of course, I know I'm going to get pushback from all the National League fans in the area, which I understand because it's the game you grew up on, so I understand that. But I grew up in a game. Now, when I was younger, there was no DH. In the 60s, when I was growing up in the 60s and into the early 70s, there was no DH. But I can tell you right now, the DH, it's a better game. It's just a better game with the DH. You can cite for me, Mike Hampton get hit. Great. What about the other 40 that can't? All right? When you're in the minor leagues, guys aren't hitting. Yeah, I'm doing games in the New York Penn League. It's a developmental league, for goodness sakes. There isn't one pitcher that hits. Zero. They want pitchers to learn how to pitch, and they want hitters to hit, so they have the DH. It's a better game. You don't need to see Trey Nielsen of the State College Spikes get up and like flail three times and go back. Hey, you know, and I don't want to hear all the strategy and whatever. My goodness, you have strategy in every game. There's strategy in every game, for goodness sakes. It gets to be a 2-1 game late. You're the right part of the order. You're going to put down a bunt and move a guy over. Okay? You know, the hit and run is a beautiful thing. The stolen base is a beautiful thing. Driving the ball is a beautiful thing. Why do you think they have home run derby instead of pitcher moves runner over derby? Okay. And any hand, show of hands here from the traditionalists. Why do we watch the home run derby but not pitcher put down bunt to move runner to second derby? Okay? Because one's exciting and the other one isn't. I talked about the batter's box. You swing at a pitch, you should be allowed to get out of the box, reset, get back in. You don't swing at a pitch, okay? You can't get out of the box. And in some neighborhood, the 12-second rule, 15-second rule, whatever. I know it's 12 right now. But the 15-second rule with nobody on base, enforce it in spring training. Send the message out. You get the ball, pitch. Timeouts. Too many timeouts in baseball. You should be limited to 9. And timeouts include pitching coach to mound, manager to mound, catcher to mound, infielder to mound. Your shortstop wants to come over and talk to your pitcher. Your first baseman goes, timeout. You just lost one, you got 8. Catcher goes out, now we're down 7. Too much of that stuff. Too much. I mean, just too much. And the other one is, for me, the shift thing is killing the game. It's killing the game. Managers are allowed to do it. They're exponentially brilliant for doing it. Starting with Joe Madden and working all the way through with Clint Hurdle. Okay? I mean, Joe Madden's the first one to really do it. They're using sabermetrics to do it, and I understand that. But, for example, 5 offensive linemen cannot go into a pass pattern in the NFL. So it's okay to restrict movement of people. Goalies can't cross center ice. Okay? 2 infielders are allowed to be on the left, and 2 are allowed to be on the right. If you want to use an outfielder to fill that gap, fine. They're an outfielder. But you must have 2 infielders on the left and 2 on the right of the base. I mean, I'm sick and tired of watching games where you watch somebody get it, like a Ryan Howard, he hits into the shift, okay? You know, people think it's easy, and Kevin's one of them. Oh, just hit the left field. Oh, yeah, like it's easy to do. Guess what? It's not easy to do. You want to know why it's not easy to do? Because the pitcher is pitching based on the shift. I've tried to tell Kevin this over and over again, okay? The reason it's hard to do is, as a pitcher, I am busting him in on the fist. Why am I doing that? Because I want him to hit into the shift. I'm not pitching him outside where he can slap it. I'm pitching him so he hits into the shift. And I know you think it's easy to hit a baseball to left field. But you got to remember, the pitcher is pitching specifically because we have shifted. 1-0 games can be exciting. A steady diet of them or not. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Just some ideas. I mean, they aren't radical ideas. I mean, the one about... the idea I have about 2 left and 2 right in the infield, you know, you may be saying, well, you're taking strategy out of the game. Look, I'm trying to put some juice into the game. I mean, do you think it's really exciting watching a guy hit into a shift? You're like, great.
If you're a good pitcher in the majors, you're able to put the pitch wherever you need to put it anyway, and if you don't, you shouldn't be in the majors.
I mean, that's my point I've tried to make to you. You're like, Ryan Howard, I don't understand why he doesn't hit the left field. They don't pitch him to hit the left field.
I'm just saying when they do make a mistake, he still doesn't take advantage of it. But that's a whole different argument.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, they don't pitch him.
They don't. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Maddon, Hazleton's own. Okay? Joe Maddon talks with his pitchers. And the pitcher has to agree first that about the shift. Why? Because the pitcher has to pitch to the shift. All right? So if the pitcher doesn't want the shift on, he has the option of telling them no shift. All right? So, I mean, the pitcher has the option. Why does the pitcher have the option in Joe Maddon's system? Because guess what? They have to pitch in such a way that makes them hit it into the shift. That's why. Shifting used to be 1.8% of defensive alignments in Major League Baseball 5 years ago. This year, it is between 11 and 12%.